Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Leo Holman, who is an editor with WorldNet Daily, and he's the author of a book called Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and the Resettlement Jihad. Leo, thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Good to be here with you, Jerry.
Sure. Do you have a website for the book or a website for your works, or should I just refer people to WND.com or what?
WND.com, yes.
Excellent. Yeah, it is a WorldNet Daily book, correct? Stealth Invasion.
Yes, it is a WND book. We have a books division as well as the news division, and the publisher is WND Books, correct.
Okay. Now, just recently we saw the situation with Ohio State University where there was a stabbing with a Somali refugee. Hey, thanks for taking me into your country. Now let me go ahead and kill you in jihad. What's going on here, Leo?
Yeah, we have a problem going on in this country right now, Jerry, and the problem is that nobody wants to talk about it. We can't get anyone in Congress to talk about it. We can't get anyone in law enforcement to talk about it. There's nobody in our churches and religious institutions, hardly, that will talk about it. There's a few. Franklin Graham is an exception. And certainly nobody in the education system, the universities, and the media wants to talk about it. But we've had a certain dynamic coming in through the immigration system over the last 35, 40 years, and in the last 10 or 12 years, it's actually been one of the fastest growing demographics coming into the country, and this being people from Sharia-compliant countries in the Middle East and Africa. And they are building settlements in this country, establishing for themselves Islam and Islamic thought and an Islamic presence. And it started in the larger metropolitan areas, but Jerry, over the last throughout the Obama administration, for sure, over the last 8 years, we've seen these this foothold grow out into medium and smaller cities throughout the country. And but it didn't. We can't lay it all at the foot of Obama because this, like I said, has been going on for 35, 40 years. The gentleman who committed the atrocity at Ohio State just yesterday, as you said, come from Somalia. And that was reported in a vacuum as if it was an isolated incident. But if you recall, just a couple of months ago, we had a stabbing incident in Minnesota at the Crossroads Mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And that was perpetrated by, what, a Somali Muslim refugee, just like the one who did the attack yesterday. But did the media draw any parallels? No. So they try to keep us in the dark by not report. They report the incident, but they don't give any context, which any journalist, any good journalist worth his salt, will know that it's always a good idea when you're reporting a story to report it in the proper context. And that same day that the stabbing took place in St. Cloud, Minnesota, we had a bombing in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan, New York City, in which 29 people were injured with a pipe bomb incident, and those pipe bombs were laid by another refugee, Muslim refugee. This time, I believe that young man was from Afghanistan. So we've got a problem. Those are just a few examples. I could give you many, many more going on in this country of migrants coming in from Muslim-majority countries, countries that hate America. And once they get here, they don't change. In fact, sometimes they get worse once they're here. And there's a big problem with second-generation Muslims, those born to the original immigrants. We saw the Chattanooga shooter last year, killed five U.S. servicemen in cold blood, shot them dead. He came here as a young boy, child migrant of 6 years old, grew up, was educated in U.S. public schools, had a nice college education at the University of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and engineering, but then went off the rails and became more religious, started growing out his beard, reading the Quran daily, going to mosque regularly, and he became a jihadist. We saw the same thing with the San Bernardino young man, Saeed Farouk. He was born of Afghan immigrants in Chicago, moved to California, ended up killing 14 people 1 year ago in December last year at an office Christmas party in San Bernardino. The list just goes on and on, but yet we don't see anyone, as I said, in Congress, in our government, very few pastors in our churches saying, hey, what is going on here? Donald Trump did touch on this in a landmark comment during his presidential campaign when he said that we need to temporarily halt all Islamic immigration until we can, quote, figure out what the
Don't say it on the air, but I know what you're talking about. I was going to say Donald Trump did speak out on this. In fact, as you may recall, Ben Carson was actually ahead of Donald Trump in December, and then came San Bernardino, and then Trump, you know, passed him. Plus, there was also Paris. Those two attacks put Trump in the front, and, you know, except with some competition from Cruz here and there, he never really lost that lead. And Trump did speak out boldly about these things.
He did speak out, and he incurred the wrath of the media, as you recall.
Oh, yeah.
Southern Poverty Law Center and the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Well, let me say, let me stop you.
Carson, if you recall. Yeah, Carson spoke out.
Yeah, and let me stop you for a second. The Southern Poverty Law Center, for the public record, has blood on its hands. It not only has blood on its hands, it has the blood of an African American. And I'm talking about when they listed Tony Perkins' excellent, informative, educational organization from a biblical perspective, Family Research Council. They labeled it as a hate group. And so this young man, misguided young man, whom even the gays came out and said, well, this guy doesn't represent us. He went there to try and shoot and kill people and ended up, at worst, injuring the African American security guard and, you know, the front desk manager for Family Research Council. I've met the guy, Leo Johnson. I've been there. I've interviewed Tony Perkins. I interviewed Gary Bauer in that same building before Tony Perkins, was even known. But, you know, it's amazing that the liberal media will take the Southern Poverty Law Center and they'll make them out as if they've got some sort of, you know, a sterling reputation. When they say a group is a hate group,
right,
oh, then that's the case. No, it's not.
Guess
no,
what?
It's not.
You're right. And they not only did that with the Family Research Council incident that you just described, they are now doing the exact same thing with the American Muslim community. They have been putting out, planting stories across the U.S. media over the last couple of weeks about so-called surge in anti-Muslim attacks. Okay, they're stirring up the American Muslim community to feel like, they already feel like they're victims, because that's the way the mosque instructs them to feel. But now they're having the pot stirred by American secular leftists, such as Southern Poverty Law Center, saying that in the wake of the Trump presidential victory, there's been a surge of anti-Muslim rhetoric and anti-Muslim attacks, most of which are unsubstantiated, almost none of which involve violence. Most of the even substantiated ones are verbal in nature. And so they're stirring, and the stabbing perpetrator in yesterday's attack in Ohio, if you look into this, you'll see that he actually cited the increase in attacks on Muslims worldwide for his attack on us. So it's all coming home to roost now with this unholy alliance between the Islamists and those in the Muslim Brotherhood who are seeking to Islamize our society, and the leftists, secular leftists, who are now joining forces to try to eliminate the last vestiges of Judeo-Christian values which underpin our society.
Yeah, and what's so amazing is that if, heaven forbid, if there were a Muslim takeover, let's say in America, how do you think those liberals would fare under such a scenario?
Right. They're not thinking that far ahead, apparently. But all they need to do, and I discuss this in my book, I have a whole chapter on the European model. All they need to do is look across the pond to Europe and find what's happening there. You know, one-third of Germans in a recent survey said that they feel like strangers in their home, in their own country, in the wake of Angela Merkel's massive influx in of Muslim refugees from the Middle East. So, and we've seen what's happened in Paris with the multiple bloody terrorist attacks on a grand scale. We think it's bad here. It's been even worse there. So, yes, we have the model and the example laid out before us if we will only look and stop watching the TV and the mainstream media, because, like I said earlier, they will never connect the dots for us. They will never tell us the truth. They will only give us more of their filthy lies and their omissions, and we need to start doing our homework, and we need to start asking our congressmen to stand up and acknowledge the truth and stop being prisoners of this politically correct media.
I remember after the shooting, you know, the killing and so forth in San Bernardino, it was about a whole day later, and I was in a scenario where the CNN was on, and they were talking about, well, we still don't know what the motive is.
Right.
And I was just shaking my head, and it's like, all you have to do is look at the name. In fact, when I was thinking about Tuesday's killing in Ohio State University, I was thinking, well, what is the guy's name? That was my first question. What's his name? And, you know, usually it's like Muhammad or Yusuf or Abdul or something.
It was Abdul.
Yeah, it's a Muslim, you know, person. And we need to understand what the Quran says. And some people interpret some of the violent verses in the Quran in such a way that they think that their God wants them to kill the infidel. That's what they think. You know, and Jesus said the day would come when men will kill you and think they're offering God a service in so doing. Amazing. That's in John 16:1, too.
That is a very poignant thought there, Jerry. I'd never even thought of that or made that connection.
Hmm. Well, tell me about settlements taking place in America. There's some challenges here in terms of, you know, by the way, it's a good thing. Hopefully Obama's agenda will be reversed, and yet still a lot of damage is being done. Go ahead.
Right. We're not as far along in this game as Europe, the European model that I refer to. But it is getting rather advanced. Germany, France, these countries, England, all are 5 to 10% Muslim. Ooh. In their overall populations. America is about 1 to 2%. We don't have official figures because the census does not ask about religious affiliation, but estimates range from 1 to 2%, about 3.3 million Muslims today in America. And it is fanning out and spreading out, like I said earlier, to smaller cities. And this is being done secretly, on the sly, under the radar. The cities and towns themselves are giving little to no notice about how many refugees they will be sent each year by the U.S. State Department. The Refugee Act of 1980 requires, quote, consultation with state and local authorities. Well, there's a big debate over what consultation should consist of. The feds believe that by telling the cities at the end of the year how many they were sent, or after they were sent, that's the consultation, whereas many of the states and cities say, hey, we want to know ahead of time. We want to be consulted ahead of time. How many and from what countries are you going to send us?
Wow.
And there's been lawsuits and debates over this. None of this has been ever covered by the mainstream media. Whenever they report on refugees, it's always from a flowery feature story type perspective of, you know, little Abdul has escaped with his family from this harsh civil war in Syria, and they'll show emotional pictures of babies' bodies washing up on the shores of Turkey, and it's all based on emotion. And I know there is a certain element of compassion that we need to have, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be compassionate, but we could help these people probably more so by setting up no-fly zones in the region where they are and sending them aid there than we could by permanently resettling, you know, 100,000 or so per year here in our country.
All right, we're basically out of time. We're out of time. So I thank you so much for being with us. Again, the book is called Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and the Resettlement Jihad. The author is Leo Homan, who's been our guest right now. Thank you so much, Leo. All the best to you.
Thanks to you, Jerry.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.